just read with you those couple of verses again from Matthew 18, the verses 10 through 14. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I imagine that many, if not most of us, have been in surprising or somewhat awkward situations where we've interacted with someone we didn't know at all, complete stranger, maybe this sized up that person, judged them in those brief couple moments as we're maybe talking with someone else, concluded that that person was probably not worth our time, maybe even looking down on them. Until, of course, a little while later, we realize, or someone tells us, actually, that was so-and-so, and he, she is kind of a big deal. Or you realize, like, oh, that's actually someone I shouldn't be looking down on. We maybe even tell ourselves not to judge strangers exactly for that reason. You know, never to look down on anyone. And yet, we probably also realize that some things are just hard to shake. And Jesus starts in our text, at least to remind us that sometimes these kind of things happen in the church as well. We can be all concerned about judging people and where they stand in relation to us, that we forget that our actual reference point ought to be how we all stand in reference to God Himself. God is the good shepherd. If someone ought to look down on us, it would be him. But instead of that, he cares for us. He loves us. Shows concern for each one of his little ones. Jesus points out how that ought to be the starting point for us in the church. We see that this morning under the theme, The Teachings of Jesus Christ, A Lesson in Shepherding. And we'll see, start with God's care for his church, and then see how that moves into our care for his church. Seems quite telling that this fourth discourse of Jesus Christ's fourth sermon, major sermon in Matthew, it's going to be on the church. And it actually starts with the question posed by his disciples. Okay, Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples most likely think they have a legitimate, like, honest, good question. Yeah, of course. As in any kingdom, there's the king, there's the ruler, there's the head, and then he has his right-hand men, people right beside him who are there and the most powerful. Kingdoms have a power structure, a hierarchy. There will be higher and lower positions. They expect nothing less of this kingdom of heaven. And especially in the last couple chapters, Peter had been doing a lot and had made the good confession, and Jesus takes him and some others up onto the Mount of Transfiguration. So, yeah, who is actually the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, throughout his ministry, and as we've looked at all of these sermons of Jesus Christ, we've noticed, if one thing that we've noticed, is that his kingdom is going to be different from all the kingdoms of this world. It's not going to be like any other human worldly kingdom. And that trend isn't going to change here. When Jesus answers his disciples, he calls up a little child and he places that child among his disciples and tells them, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' kingdom, the greatest, the disciples are supposed to be like little ones. Jesus loves, actually, to even just call his disciples little ones. Why? Well, A, it's not because children are somehow magically innocent, pure, by nature, humble. Now, are you kids here listening today, humble all the time, pure, never get into trouble? No, I don't think so. So why then? Why a little one? Well, you do depend on your parents for most of what happens in your life. It may be tempting for you to think like, yeah, I am better and I am smarter and I am greater than my siblings. But it's a lot harder to imagine that you're greater, bigger, better, smarter than your parents, as they're the one who care for you, drive you places, they feed you, they teach you, they care for you in every way. You need your parents. You can't just suddenly be greater than them. And it's that dependency and that sense of your place and humility that Jesus says is really at the heart of these little ones in his kingdom. It's the wrong question to be asking, like, who's the greatest? It's not about pushing people to the side to trying to get the best spot or to get to the top. To be truly Christ's disciple, we must be, as Jesus goes on to say, we must be humble, forgive one another, care for one another. And Jesus fleshes that out in the rest of his sermon. We see that point, especially of caring and showing concern for one another in our text this morning. In verse 10, Jesus says, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. In some ways, maybe almost a bit of an odd verse. It's there, if you have your Bibles open, it's its own paragraph. On the one hand, it almost feels like it's about something else, a little, just one random verse. But at the same time, it fits so well with verse 14. Jesus talks caring about little ones, and he's talking about his Father in heaven. Makes all of this really a neat, succinct, linked lesson. So what then is the lesson in verse 10? Well, just look at it. It's a fascinating verse, isn't it? Jesus says, well, he's referring to these little ones, that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Some will read this verse or have interpreted this verse to mean that we all have a guardian angel watching over us. If there's one verse in the Bible that seems to teach something like guardian angels, it would be this verse. It's interesting language. Little ones, they're angels in heaven. But is that really what Jesus is saying, though? I mean, it is true. In the rest of the Bible, you'll find other occasions in which the Bible clearly says, you know, God's angels watch over, they guard God's people. They guard and serve us. Think of Hebrews 1, verse 14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Or Psalm 91 says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So does God send angels to protect and to guard his people? Yes, the Bible is very clear on that. And that seems to be what Jesus is reminding us here in order to change our perspective. Just consider again what Jesus says. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. It says, don't look down on these little ones. Maybe tempting they're dependent, they can't do anything on their own. Here you go. But he says, don't look down on them. He's addressing his disciples. He's addressing the church. Don't look down on them. Jesus knows that for his disciples, for the church, it may be tempting to look down on someone who's like a little one, who's really just a disciple. The disciples probably aren't the only ones who actually kind of want a hierarchy of things, some ranking, some way to feel, have an idea of how we're doing and how we compare to other people. Isn't that something that we actually all have? How easy is it to not see that, do not look down, but actually to have that kind of mentality also within the church, to look down on the other disciples, the other little ones that God brings together in his church. We think like, oh, they don't have the faith that I have, or they haven't made the same sacrifices that I have. Look at them. They're making these mistakes. Obviously, they're just beginners. This couple, well, they can't even get their marriage to work. Others just don't show the same effort, don't commit the same amount of time, don't show the same zeal as that I do. Obviously, I'll look down on them a little bit. Maybe others you're thinking like, well, they're already halfway out the door of this church. They're like, yeah, of course, I'll look down on them. Or so we think. Little ones or not, we might have in our minds this our own kind of hierarchy of who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven and what that looks like. And accordingly tempted to look down on those who don't fit that ideal. Then Jesus says, his disciples and to us, he says, remember that those people that you're looking down on actually have angels who serve them at the most high holy court in heaven. Before the majesty, the king of the universe, and they have unhindered access to my Father in heaven. They are precious in God's sight. That's why he sends his angels to serve them. He will not hold back his attention or his servants from watching over his precious little ones. You want to talk about who's the greatest? You want to talk about who gets to be the closest to God, to have his royal ear, and to have access to his throne? I tell you that the angels serving these little ones always see the face of my Father in heaven. Now, in getting us ready for what is to come, that parable of the man caring for his lost sheep, Jesus reminds us, first of all, that God cares deeply for all of his people. Great, small, weak, strong, new believer, old believer, doesn't matter. They all come. They all ought to be. We all ought to be as little ones. Little ones who have angels watching over them, who serve before the very majesty on high. God cares for his people as a good shepherd. We shouldn't be looking at each other through whatever lens we may have of what would be the greatest in the kingdom, but through God's eyes, the eyes of a father who commissions these glorious servants to serve and guard and watch his people. Even though they be little ones. The angel of the Lord encamps around all who fear him, who may seem small in our eyes, not so before God. If we get to know God's care for the church, for his people, his perspective, this is going to flow into our own care for the church, for God's people. And Jesus starts to teach us that in verses 12 through 14. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. As we're now used to, Jesus gives us another parable, another scenario, very likely one in a way. A man has a reasonable sized flock, he has 100 sheep, he's off well enough, it seems, with that number, but still, he's going to be concerned about that one sheep that isn't there, that is missing. So this man is taking care of his sheep during the day. He's leading them maybe to greener pastures. And as he gets to the end of his day and the sheep start to graze and enjoy themselves, he starts to count his sheep. And he comes up one short. What does he do? He goes and he looks for them. Realizes the sheep must have wandered off from the flock. He leaves his flock on the hill, maybe with some other shepherds. Maybe just by themselves, we don't know. Jesus doesn't give us the details. He scans the surrounding hillsides. He goes down into the ravines and into the towards the creek sides, carefully listening, looking, searching for his sheep. And Jesus says, and then he finds it, maybe off there in a little dip by itself, all afraid, scared. The man is overjoyed that he had found this one sheep that was lost, more happy than with the 99 that didn't wander off. Now, most likely, we know this parable, and we've heard it before. This is one of the parables that you'll read in the other Gospels as well, or at least in the Gospel of Luke. And then in the Gospel of Luke, it's in the context of the lost coin, you have the lost sheep, and then it leads into the wonderful parable of the prodigal son, a son who was lost and then comes home. The context there, interestingly, is different than the one in Matthew. You know, in Luke, Jesus starts teaching these parables because here he is, he's preaching, tax collectors, sinners are coming to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they start complaining, they start grumbling, saying, like, what is Jesus doing with these sinners? And Jesus then teaches them, saying, like, well, if people from the outside, they come in, and these lost people have been found, of course I'm going to rejoice, of course I'm going to welcome them, like that father welcoming his lost son. But here in our text, actually, Jesus isn't so much concerned with tax collectors and sinners. He's talking about his disciples. He's talking about little ones as his disciples. Which interestingly means that Jesus isn't so much concerned here about outsiders. That's how we treat one another in the church. Which is interesting, isn't it? Hopefully, we all appreciate Jesus' parables when he's referring to lost sinners coming to join the church and how we receive them with joy, not grumbling like Pharisees or the scribes, but full of compassion and joy that someone has found Jesus Christ and it confesses him as Lord. And if we take that to heart, we'll be patient, we'll be gracious, we'll be supporting someone who is new to the faith and who joins the church from the outside. But Jesus says that's not the only lesson you need. Actually, you need to apply the same lesson to the church, to people that we might say are actually on the inside. We don't just need the same care and concern for if people would join us, but we need the same reminder for how we treat one another. Maybe we even should say that this lesson is perhaps even more relevant in our context as an established church. We're settled, maybe. We have expectations of one another, and maybe we're very used to one another and the church and taking that for granted. And all of that might actually make it more difficult to show the same care and the concern and the grace for one another that we would very readily give to someone who comes from the outside. We experience that in other areas of life as well. Chances are that you're able to be far more patient, kind, gracious, and caring with people that are a little bit further away from you. Maybe it's colleagues or neighbors or more distant family members. I mean, no one is perfect, but we might exhibit fantastic and wonderful Christian fruit in those relationships. But then for some reason, when it comes to our immediate family, our siblings, our spouses, our children, suddenly we don't have the patience, we can't be as gracious, and we see everything almost through a different lens, it seems, even if we still try to be caring. And maybe we even justify this thinking, well, the people who are closest to us should know better, or that we just have higher standards for them. Or maybe a little bit that we just pride, it's a matter of pride, and we know that the people that are closest to us reflect on us. Or maybe it's that there's less backlash, or we just live up to each other's expectations, whatever it may be. Well, doesn't that happen in the church too? We maybe treat each other in ways that we wouldn't actually do to someone who is on the outside, for whatever reason we may have. And Jesus breaks it down and says to his disciples, remember, A, our God is a caring God. He's the good shepherd. He saved you. Gives that wonderful story of that man going out to look for his lost sheep. And can we at least see ourselves in that? We all ought to be as little ones. We all notice how we love to wander away. And yet here Jesus is preaching this. He's the very one who's going to look and seek out all who are lost. Even within the church, continually being gracious to us and forgiving us. He does that all by going and suffering and dying on the cross. That is the depth of his care and the scope of his searching for that lost sheep. And just as he searches those who are lost, those little ones who have wandered away, and rejoices to see the lost found, he says, well, this is the lesson you need in the church. Also, do that for one another. Watch out for those who may be straggling, wandering off. Do that with real love and concern. And how applicable is that, especially today? Like, we need that lesson any year, but especially in the last year, we haven't been able to worship together in person. We have been able to have maybe other things going on as the full body of Christ and events and whatever else. Are we aware or mindful of little ones? Maybe straggling, worried, wandering? Let's just realize this isn't just the job for some select few in the church, like office bearers or the like. And Jesus is addressing the church as that caring community. Just experience the love and the care of this Heavenly Father and Savior, so that we all may rejoice when wandering, straying little ones would be brought back into the fold. Rejoice over that. Yes, in all fairness, when Jesus ends the parable, he just ends saying, you know, this is what the Father does. You know, this is the same way your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should be lost. What does he go on to say? He says, like, okay, let's put this into practice. When your brother sins against you, what are you going to do? Hold him accountable. Be gracious with him. How are you going to forgive him? Well, you're going to forgive him as God has forgiven you. He works it out. Flows right down from God's care for lost sinners into that care that we show one another. And in churches, it is common, I think, to talk about, you know, people falling through the cracks. Most often we maybe use that language in large churches because we think, like, oh, it's inevitable that people fall through the cracks. And maybe it is inevitable. Maybe that happens. But I don't think size really even matters that much. But if we have to think, if there are people in the church who might slip through the cracks, what are we then actually as the church, as a caring community, as the ones who have the mind and heart of Christ, actually going to do about it? And I don't right now this morning encourage you to be the one person who's going to care for all of those who might fall through the cracks or who you might have concern for. No, I just, even if we all just did that for one or two people in the congregation, wouldn't that already cultivate a caring community? If you just said this morning, well, maybe I need to just focus on people in my small group, whether that's going or not, but I'm just going to see how they're doing, check up with them once in a while, wouldn't that already bring about that caring community, that where if one sheep out of the 99 was wandering, they would get to see some of the love and care of Jesus Christ? That's, of course, one side of it. So we care, show our concern. But in turn, let us then also be, each one of us, as little ones, be open to receive the encouragement, the care, the admonishment of one another. It's interesting that in verse 10, Jesus starts off with that wonderful image and truth that God sends his servants, his angels, to care for even these little ones. Oh, imagine angels bringing us encouragement, care, admonishment. You know how assuring, comforting, and probably very terrifying that would be if they came to admonish us. The interesting thing is that Jesus in the New Testament doesn't send angels. He sends brothers and sisters, members of one body. Different gifts, different roles, different perspectives to be the body of Christ. Receive then also your fellow believers, the fellow little ones, as members of the same body, as Christ's hands, as his voice, as his care and love coming also for you. Receive them as sent by a shepherd who loves his sheep and sends his little ones. Now the question, now, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Leads Jesus to exalt, actually just little ones, in his kingdom. We're all little ones. Not one of us could do any of what it takes in the Christian life by ourselves. Not one of us. But that's our joy. We have this Heavenly Father who cares for us. We have a Savior who does that for us all. We have a Heavenly Father whose angels guard and protect and serve us here on earth. These angels who stand before God's throne, you think like they have much better things to do than come and look after little me. God says no, because you're precious in my sight. So therefore, don't judge each other by worldly human standards. Rather, care for one another. Seek what is lost with love, grace, compassion. For we are Christ's bodies. Let us continue to live in him as our head, to continue the life that our head has called us to. Amen. For you who wanted to look up what we're going to sing next, it's going to be hymn 77. We're going to give the sound guy just a couple of seconds to get back into the booth and get that ready for all those who are joining us online so that you also have the text and we don't get ahead of you. And so we're going to be singing hymn 77.